Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, Jesus said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." About a week and a half ago, we gathered here on Ash Wednesday to remind ourselves of our sins and the inevitable death that is their due. I put on a mask and rubber gloves, and you lined up to receive the imposition of ashes in as sanitary of a manner as we could manage. And with a Q-tip, I painted a black cross on your forehead and said, "Dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Echoing the curse of Genesis 3, when humanity fell into sin. Actually, you could argue it was probably more of a headlong plunge than a fall. But it wasn't until about halfway through this holy, somber ritual that I realized the irony of what I was doing. There I was, wearing a mask, rubber gloves, white robe, not unlike a white lab coat, trying as neatly and cleanly as possible to put ashes, dirt, on your forehead. And what's more, the entire activity was meant to remind us that we are going to die as a consequence of our sin. The wages of sin is death. Everything that we were doing on Ash Wednesday was to communicate to you the fact that you are going to die. And yet I did it in as safe and sterile of a manner as I could to make sure that you wouldn't get sick and wouldn't die. Do you see the irony? It's almost as if I were saying with a wink, "You're gonna die, but not tonight." And there's something tragically comical about that juxtaposition. Because a readiness to die is one of the marks of being a Christian. Disciples of Jesus do not cower in the face of death. We don't run, we don't hide. We don't try to fend off the unavoidable. We face the stark reality of our lives and are prepared to die at the drop of a hat. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes that when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. But this pandemic has made plain to me a very disturbing fact, which I mentioned a few months ago, that too many of us Christians are afraid to die. I don't know how else to put it. We're afraid to die. I'm not saying that we should all be like lining up for a lethal injection, like we should all be trying to be in a rush to get to heaven. You know, there's that old saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But if we weren't afraid to die, why have we gone to such extreme lengths to avoid contracting the virus to the point that nearly half of, well, probably a third of our congregation is still shuttered up at home with no physical contact with their children or grandchildren, not even going to church for public worship. Now, before all you anti-maskers get too excited, I want to state this. There is a distinct difference between living in fear and taking reasonable precautions to protect yourself and others. Okay, social distancing, wearing a mask in public so you can go to work or school or worship, that's not the same thing as living in fear. It's following the best guess of medical experts who think this might help to slow the spread of the disease. And if I can take some action that might help to keep from getting somebody sick and dying, that's well and good. Thus the Q-tips. The Bible calls us to love and serve our neighbors and protect the weak and the vulnerable. But when you hide in your house and don't go anywhere and don't allow visits from your grandchildren or your kids or your pastor, you are living in fear. Fear is a powerful emotion that causes us to do crazy, insane things. And the devil plays upon fear. That's why the 9 o'clock news plays his favorite tune. But Christians are called to be unafraid. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, Paul writes in 2 Timothy, not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control. And if you are afraid to die, no matter the cause of death, your faith is weak. Don't you believe that the Almighty God, who loves and cares for you, will protect you and care for you? And if he decides it's time for you to die, whether it's from COVID-19 or cancer or a car accident, his will is good and gracious. And if you die, you'll be in heaven with Christ. Remember that just because you're not dead doesn't mean that you are living. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I know that we tend to turn the cross into a metaphor for general suffering or even the human condition. We all have a cross to bear, right? Have you heard that before? Have you said it before? We all have a cross to bear. But the cross is not a mere metaphor for human suffering. For Jesus' first hearers, the cross was a very real thing. The cross was an instrument of torture and a cruel implement of death. Crosses are made to kill people. The cross does not represent worldly suffering. It is precisely the suffering that comes to a Christian because he or she is a Christian. Bonhoeffer writes in his marvelous book, The Cost of Discipleship, that the cross is neither misfortune nor harsh fate. Instead, it is that suffering which comes from our allegiance to Christ alone. The cross is not random suffering, but necessary suffering. And the cross is not suffering that stems from natural existence. It is the suffering that comes from being a Christian. And Christian suffering arises for two reasons. Number one, we deny ourselves the desires of the flesh and our attachments to this world, and that is hard. And number two, we suffer persecution for the sake of Jesus and the gospel. So are you ready to die? And I mean that as much more than a rhetorical question. Because in your heart, every day when you wake up and every night when you go to bed, you need to ponder and answer this question. Am I ready to die? A readiness to die is one of the marks of being a Christian. We must be ready and willing to die for the Lord who died for us. Jesus came to die for our sins on the cross and to rise again to give us eternal life. And he embraced his cross, stretching out his arms to embrace the whole world in love and mercy. He gave up his life to save yours. And he suffered the excruciating pain of the cross so that we would not suffer torment in hell for eternity. And we must be willing to die for the same Jesus who died for us. For what can a man give in return for his soul? It's time to come back to church. If you are afraid to go to church during a pandemic, then what will you do when persecution comes? If you are afraid about getting sick and dying now, then how will you stand up for the name of Jesus and confess the faith when they arrest you, when they torture you, when they line up Christians against the wall and shoot them in the back of the head? This is not an idle comparison. What do we love more, our life or Jesus? Jesus says that whoever tries to save his own skin will lose his soul. But whoever is willing to lose his life for the sake of Jesus and the gospel will save it. And in John's gospel, Jesus is even more extreme. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. God commands us to come together for public worship. The Greek word that's translated as church in the New Testament is ecclesia or ekklesia. It means assembly. Ecclesia means congregation. The church cannot congregate if it does not come together. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approach. And how can we encourage one another if we don't even see each other? Worshiping online is not the same thing as going to church. It's not. It's better than nothing. We can say that much for it, right? And yes, you can hear the word on YouTube nearly as well as you can sitting in the sanctuary, but you can't receive the Lord's Supper through a screen. And if you stay home, you can't see your brothers and your sisters in Christ and ask how they're doing. You can't rejoice with them. You can't cry with them. You can't pray with them. You can certainly send your offering through the mail, but you can't send yourself. And you are needed here because we're all together the body of Christ. And the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. And the eye can't say to the ear, get lost, I don't need you. Some of you are watching online for a legitimate reason. You are truly homebound. Or you have to work on weekends. But others of you have just become comfortable. Human beings are like electrons, and we choose the path of least resistance. And it's easy to stay home instead of getting up and combing your hair and taking a shower, hopefully combing your hair after the shower, and putting your clothes on. It's easy to stay home and watch church in your pajamas and slippers while lounging in a recliner and sipping coffee. Nothing is required of you if you stay home. Nobody will ask you to do anything. Nobody will ask you to serve in any way. You won't even have to sing along with the hymns or hand out bulletins or put up with crying babies or carry the burdens of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Christians are called to be radically different from the world. We're not afraid to die. And if we do die, or our loved ones, we do not mourn in the same way as the rest of the world because we have the hope of eternal life. And this life ain't the only show. We know and believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we too will rise on the last day. Death could not keep him. Death cannot keep you. The grave will not contain you. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Death is not the worst thing that can happen to a person. When I put that on Facebook about 9 months ago, my sister got really mad at me. But she doesn't watch my sermons. And it's still true that death is not the worst thing that can happen to somebody. The worst thing that can happen is to die without faith in Christ. Because whoever is ashamed of me, Jesus says, and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And the longer that you stay away from church, the harder it is to come back. If you don't stay connected to Jesus and the vine, you will wither and you will die spiritually, which is worse than physical death. I read some startling research late last year, right around Christmas. The Barna Group discovered through its polling that nearly one-third, so it's 32%, almost a third, right? 32% of all Christians who regularly attended church before the pandemic have stopped worshiping at all. I'm not talking about the general population. I'm talking about church-going Christians on March 1st of 2020. A third of them don't worship at all anymore. They don't go to public worship services. They've given up watching online. And so they've severed all ties with the church and they have cut themselves off from hearing God's word. A third of all Christians in America. Don't become one of them. Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to forfeit his soul? When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Christ died for you. Are you willing to risk dying for him? Don't let fear destroy your faith. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.